Marriage Today presents The Cost of Oil by Jimmy Evans.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 25, the message is called The Cost of Oil. I'm not talking about gas prices this morning. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 25 is a text of Scripture where Jesus is talking about His coming. He's talking about the days in which He comes and us being prepared as His bride, either through death, graduation, going to heaven, or through Him coming again. In this particular case, it's the second coming. Matthew 25, verse 1, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Now those who were foolish took their lamps and no oil, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" Well, this message is about the Holy Spirit, but I want to begin by saying this. In Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus is answering the question that his disciples ask him of, "When are you going to come?" And I'm just saying this, everything Jesus said would happen at the time of his coming is happening in the world right now. Jesus said men's hearts would be failing them for fear. That's interesting because that word fear is the Greek word phobos. It means terror. Jesus predicted at the end times that men all over the world would be fainting from terrorism. Is that Jesus predicted times in the world, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, disease, earthquakes in various places, worldwide terrorism, all these things. And I'm just saying, if there's ever been a generation on the earth that needed to be prepared, we're that generation. If there's ever been a generation warned in advance about the events that are taking place and what they're leading up to, we're that generation. And Jesus promised he would come without warning. We would know the season, but not the day or the hour, and certainly I believe that we're in that season. But in this message here, in this story that he's telling here, he's telling about 10 virgins, and they're preparing for a wedding, and five of them are wise and five are foolish. And according to the story here, the difference between the wise and the foolish was the possession of oil. Well, in this text, oil represents the Holy Spirit. Because it's talking about preparing for a wedding, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. First of all, he would give us power in our lives. He said that he would remind us of Jesus. As soon as the Holy Spirit came, part of his ministry was reminding us about Jesus, preparing us in the relationship with him. He is the Spirit of truth. He gives us the power to overcome darkness and to know the difference between darkness and light. In this story, the difference between those who succeeded and those who failed were, the difference was the Holy Spirit. Now, in this story here, you know, Jesus is telling us about that, but we need to understand we were designed to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve, and it says there, he breathed life into their nostrils, that doesn't mean just oxygen, it meant his spirit. They were created with the Spirit of God in them, and we can't live successfully without the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Bible says. When Jesus died on the cross, it says in this scripture here is found in Matthew 27, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 2 Corinthians 6:16 tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we were originally designed by God to be the place where his spirit dwells. He filled Adam and Eve with his spirit. Through sin, they lost the intimate presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus came and died on the cross, and the instant that he died, the veil that held the Holy of Holies, where the Holy Spirit dwelt, that veil was ripped from heaven to earth, and the Spirit of God was released to come back into our lives. so that now we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But what I want to say this morning is the good news is all of us by grace can have all of the Holy Spirit we want. Isn't that good news? Just like Jesus, we don't have to deserve it. We don't have to earn the Holy Spirit. We can this morning receive the fullness of God's Spirit by grace. But the other thing I want to say is there's a cost to the Holy Spirit. And that cost is the cost of time. God does not give His Spirit away for free in the sense of a relationship with Him. And let me say this. In Luke 11:13, Jesus said God the Father would give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. And what I want to say this morning is if you want the Holy Spirit, God will give you the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit. It takes time to have a relationship with Him, and every benefit that He gives us is the result of the time that we spend with Him. The difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins wasn't how much money they had, it was how they spent their time. The foolish virgins wasted their time. They did not gather the oil that was necessary to relate to the bridegroom and to overcome the darkness in the midnight hour. And when the midnight hour came, they were not prepared when the others were prepared. In our lives, God has given all of us time. We all have time. But the way that we spend that time says a lot of things. Number one, it says if we know the Lord or not. And I'm not saying that we have to, spend time with the Holy Spirit to be saved or to, you know, earn somehow the grace of God. I'm not saying that at all. Because once we're saved, we have enough Holy Spirit to get to heaven. What I am saying is this, you will never have more of God than He has of you. And you cannot microwave Christianity. You cannot hurry spiritual maturity. You cannot in any way expedite a relationship with God because relationships take time. And the amount of time that you spend, first of all, reveals if you know a person or not. If you're telling me you don't spend time with anyone, I'm telling you, you don't know that person. The foolish virgins, when the bridegroom came, He looked at the foolish virgins and He said, I never knew you. And that word knew there means intimate knowledge. Of course, God knows who we are. But without time, you can't know a person. It's impossible. We had a lady in our church, this is about 20 years ago, and we had a lady in our church, and she was a problematic kind of a person. She really was. And she had problems, and she caused a lot of problems. That was her ministry. And so I preached a message one time on prayer. And she came up to me, and she was real sweet about it, you know, and she came up to me after I preached the message, and she told me that she hadn't prayed in 7 years. Let me tell you something. When you don't pray in 7 years, you don't know Him. And the lack of time with someone is a warning signal that the relationship is either non-existent or it's not healthy. The second thing that our time reveals is if we're walking with a dependence on the Holy Spirit. Lack of time with God means independence. It means I don't need you. I heard someone say one time that a day without prayer is a boast against God. That when I don't pray, what I'm saying is I don't need you. I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your strength. I don't need your power. I don't need to stop and to get guidance from you or power from you. I can do this without you. There is a scripture, and I know you know this scripture. This is Zechariah 4:6. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. How many of you have heard that before? The name Zerubbabel, this is not what you want to name your child. I can tell you that right now. I'm sure you've already gotten that one. But the word Zerubbabel means born confused. How many of you would like to name your child that? Born confused. And God came to a man named Born Confused, and he was trying to lead the people there in Israel at that time, and he was having no success, and God came and said, this is my word, Born Confused. It is not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. And if you want to stop living your life in confusion and fear and depression, turned around, not knowing where you're going, frustrated, fearful, then you need my Holy Spirit. That was his answer to Zerubbabel. And I'm saying this, the way we spend our time reveals if we know God and how dependent we are on God. And I want to show you a pattern here in the Bible. It's a clear pattern, and here's the pattern. And that is the time we dedicate to God always equals the amount of power and anointing and blessing that we have related to the Holy Spirit. And this is Isaiah 40. I'm sure you've heard this scripture before too, but let me read it in its fuller context. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known and have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And God wrote that scripture through Isaiah, gave that word through Isaiah, because here's what the people of Israel were saying. God's not fair. He's not giving me what I deserve. Life isn't fair. And God isn't taking care of me properly. And God came and said, don't tell me that I'm not fair. Don't tell me I'm not doing for you what I should do for you, because I give power to the weak and I'm a just God. But it's those who wait on me that get my strength. It's those who spend time with me that I give my counsel to. This is Luke 24, 49. This is Jesus. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus told them to wait for power. It is a continued theme of the Bible. Jesus fasted for 40 days alone with God before he began his ministry. And here's what the scripture says about that. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. This is Luke 5, 16 and 17, talking about the secret of Jesus' ministry. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus spent time with God. And because he spent time with God, God gave him his power. Let me tell you something. Time is the commodity of relationship. It's the essential commodity of relationship. Money is the essential commodity of business. And if I came to you and wanted to keep you from succeeding in business, the only thing I need to do is to keep from you the essential commodity of business, money. You'll never succeed in business without money. But in relationships, time is the essential commodity of relationships. So the devil's job is to rob your time and to keep you from spending time with God. And I heard someone say this one time, if the devil can't stand in front of you and stop you, he'll get behind you and push you too fast. But his job is to keep you from ever having the time to spend with God. And that was the difference between the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. And a lot of people want microwave Christianity. They want the zap-slap method of Christianity. And rather than spending time with God, they want to come to church and have the man of God slap them in the forehead. Here you come and you got a problem, I'll zap you in the forehead. You know, zap, slap, it's all over with. Praise God, you know. Well, I'm just telling you what, doesn't happen that way. There is never a shortcut to time with God. There is never maturity gained without time with God. And when you spend time with God, that is how you get everything that you're going to get from God. And it is always an act of grace, but God doesn't give himself for things. He gives himself for us. We will never have more of God than he has of us. And time is us. If we won't give God time, what we're saying is, I won't give you me, but I want you. This is what Israel was saying when Isaiah wrote what he wrote. We want you. We want your blessing. We want everything that you've got. Why aren't you giving us all this stuff? You're jipping us. There's something wrong with you. God says, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. I'm a just God. I give power to the weak. I'm a righteous God. But those who wait on me renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. You give me you, I'll give you me. Isn't that a fair exchange? Isn't that a fair exchange? If we give ourselves to God, he gives us himself to us. Why would he do that? Well, let me just give it to you right now, because this is it. Because he loves us. He enjoys us. I heard Dennis Jernigan, worship leader, say something one time that kind of messed with my mind. And here's what he says. God desires to be in our presence worse than we desire to be in his. Well, let me just say this. He sent his only son to die for us so that he could get into our presence. I just think that demonstrates how badly he wants to do that. And when we won't give him time in exchange for his demonstration of love, it's not a fair exchange. He's not wrong to ask for our time. He's not wrong to ask for the best of our time. And in the story of the virgins, those who spent their time wisely had the oil for the midnight journey to the bridegroom. Those who had wasted their time were unprepared. It was all about time. Let me go back for just a minute to Luke 24:49. This is a pattern that Jesus gives us in the Bible, again related to power. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. This is a pattern for our lives. And the first thing that Jesus does is he tells us what to do, and that is to tarry, just to wait. That's all it means, is just spend time, just wait. The second thing is he tells us where to do it, and that is Jerusalem. It means city of peace. It means a place of peace. If we're going to have power, it means we've got to get out of the crowd and out of the noise and spend time with God in a quiet place. Jesus says, when you pray, you don't be like the hypocrites who go out in public places and pray there. You go into your prayer closet, your secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you fast, you don't be like the hypocrites who put on a gloomy face and sackcloth and ashes and go around with a, you know, pitiful look just to be, everybody feel sorry for them and know how spiritual they are. When you fast, you do it, you put oil on your face and you dress up good. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There must be a place in our lives that is quiet from the noise and the busyness of the world, and it's just us and God. And it can be a bedroom or a living room or a car or an office or wherever we can go, or out in the woods somewhere, but wherever we go that it's just us and God. Jesus says, tarry in Jerusalem, a place of peace. Wherever that place is that you can just get peace for 30 minutes or an hour or however long you can get it, just between you and God. And the third thing he says is how long to do it, until you are endued with power. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And the word endue means to sink into. And it's like putting something down into oil. You know, water absorbs very quickly, but oil does not. It's like putting like leather down into oil, and it sits there, and that oil will not immediately absorb into it. It takes time. I absolutely know that the time I give him always equates into grace and power and blessing. It always does. And when I don't spend time with him, I don't have the same grace and power and blessing. Am I saved? Absolutely, I'm saved. Am I on my way to heaven? Absolutely, I'm on my way to heaven. Does he love me? He always loves me. But I don't get what he wants to give me when I won't stop and take time. Because it takes time for him to speak. It takes time for him to heal. It takes time for him to love. And he likes spending time with us because he's our Father. He enjoys us. He really does. And sometimes that's hard to understand, that God desires to be in our presence. He really does enjoy us. And it's just like your children. You know, if you only loved your children when they were doing good, you would never love your children. They're either doing the wrong thing or they're plotting it. God doesn't wait for us to be all right until he enjoys us. He always enjoys us. Even when your children are struggling, even when your children are doing the wrong thing, you still love them. They're your children. God's not waiting for you to get your act together before he comes and enjoys you intimately. His presence, his love. He knows that you could never get your act together until he loves you. You could never be who God's made you to be until he spends time with you. He enjoys us. He wants in our presence. And he will not give himself for things. You can't zap it and slap it. There's only one way to get it. And that is to spend time with God. It's the cost of oil. It's the cost of oil. You say, well, why do we have to go and spend this kind of time with God, Jimmy? I mean, I did that 6 months ago and I feel like I'm doing good. We leak. Did you know that? Remember the story, Mark 5:29, Jesus is walking through a crowd and he's just walking through this crowd and this woman, this precious woman who had the issue of blood, you remember, he's fighting through this crowd and this woman literally dove out and reached and grabbed the hem of his garment and Jesus said, virtue's gone out of me. Jesus leaked. He was the Son of God, but he regularly had to go back into the presence of God to get more of what he was giving to people. Sin makes us leak. Difficulties make us leak. Giving to people makes us leak. The demands and stresses of life make us leak. And when God fills us up, that depletes in a very quick period of time. It's interesting that another symbol of the Holy Spirit is water. And isn't it interesting that we need a lot of water? And it doesn't matter if you say, you know, 3 weeks ago, I had some great water. I'll just tell you one of the best water I ever had. And I don't know, doctor, what's wrong with me. I haven't had any water since, but you know, I'm not feeling good. But boy, I had some great water 3 weeks ago. It doesn't matter how good church was 6 months ago. It doesn't matter how good that revival was 13 years ago. What matters is, do you know him today? Have you experienced him today? Because yesterday is gone. It's evaporated. We leak. We need more. Jesus often withdrew into lonely places to pray, and the power of God was present to heal. Those go together. We have to spend time with God to be prepared. And here's, by the way, here's how you know you're spending enough time with God, and that is you can live your life successfully. Here's what Isaiah says. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not faint. Kind of interesting. Here, by the way, are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And understand this, that's the power of God's personality to give you the ability to love people beyond your own resources. All of us have a very thin veneer when it comes to putting up with messed up people. And a lot of them live with you. A lot of them you work with or go to school with, and they irritate you and grate on your nerves and all that stuff. And it says they'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. And what it means is this. When you're operating on the power of the Holy Spirit, you can love people that you would have never been able to love otherwise for longer. And you're just saying, you know, typically I would have lost my temper 3 weeks ago. I would have never been able to have the grace in this relationship to do what I've done because we do not have resident power. We were created to depend on God for power. We're not an independent power source. We need him in our lives. We need oil to operate. But the cost of oil is time, the time that we spend with him. So here, let me talk about time management for just a few minutes as I close this message. Here are the three sins of time management that the foolish virgins committed. The first is procrastination. They waited until the last minute. Procrastination is just gambling on the future. It's doing what I want to do today with my time. Rather than investing it, I'm gambling on it, literally gambling. But here's some things to remember about time. And first of all is it all belongs to God. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Your boss didn't make it. Your spouse didn't make it. You didn't make it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. And by the way, it is his time and he can repossess it anytime he wants. Our next breath is a gift of grace from God. We all have time. The rich and the poor all have 24 hours. No man will ever be able to stand before God and say, I didn't have time. I didn't have time. I didn't have time to know you. I didn't have not time to make things right. I didn't have time to repent. I didn't have time to pray. We all have time. It just depends on how we spend that time. The time we have is limited. It will come to an end. We will all see Jesus one day and give an account for our lives. It's a limited commodity. And you cannot borrow time. You cannot borrow somebody else's relationship with God. At the last hour, they were scurrying around and the foolish virgins ran up to the wise virgins and said, can we borrow some oil? And they said, You can't borrow this. It's our relationship with the bridegroom. I can't borrow your relationship with God. You can't borrow my relationship with God. It is an intimate, personal thing. And what we do with our time now determines our future here on earth and our eternity. I mean, time, this is an eternal thing that we're talking about. These five foolish virgins, they paid an eternal price for wasting the time they had today. And this is Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, how much longer do I have? I don't know. You know, I hope Jesus comes real quick. I'm ready. But if Jesus tarries, maybe I have another 20 or 30 or 40 years. You know, science is getting good. I may have another 100 years. Who knows? I want to be like the Pope. You know, I'm going to just prop me up and put a microphone under me, let me preach. You know, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I mean, I respected that man. But I can tell you this, my life will be over one day on this earth, and yours will too. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The way I use my time today, I know I may not have another one, or I may have very limited amounts. Number two sin of time management is presumption. And presumption is lying to ourselves so that we can justify what we're doing. And here's a question that I want to ask you. And I just between you and God, but if you knew that Jesus Christ were going to return this evening at 6 o'clock, if you got the secret and it was just God told very few people, but you were one of the ones that knew in advance, you know he was coming tonight at 6 o'clock, would you change anything? If your answer to that is yes, you're living in presumption. I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything. If I knew the Lord was coming tonight, I've done everything I can in relationships. I've lived my life for God. My tithes are paid up. I'm ready to go. But if you would say, Jimmy, I would call on the telephone right now and make things right with some people that I'm wrong with, that I would repent of some sins that I've been doing and I would stop doing those things, that I would have to get my heart right with God, that I would have to do a lot of things to prepare for that, I'm telling you, you're living in presumption. And Jesus gave us a clear warning in this scripture of what it would be like for people in the end times generation who were living presumptuously and wasting their time. And here is the third sin of time management, and it's misprioritizing the highest priority, God. The bridegroom, you know, they were virgins waiting for a wedding. The bridegroom is the big deal. That's what your whole life is about. When you're a virgin waiting for the wedding, that's what that story was about. But when the bridegroom came, he said, I don't know you. I never knew you. We don't have a relationship. Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. That's never changed. Matthew 6, 33, Jesus turns this into the most powerful promise in the Bible. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that a phenomenal promise? Did you know someone says you cannot have it all? You can have it all. You can have God and everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give everything else to you. What is it that you're looking for in life? I'll give it to you if you'll seek me first. What a phenomenal thing. Idolatry is not necessarily doing something wrong. It's just doing it out of priority. Because anything can be an idol when it takes God's place. Luke 14, this is a story that Jesus told about not having our priorities right. Verse 16, he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it has been done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And that kind of gives you an idea of what God feels about our busyness and our excuses. There is never an excuse that God will accept of why we can't come to him. There is never an excuse that God will accept of why we can't give him the time that he deserves. Here's what I heard someone say one time about prayer. Prayer takes time, prayer makes time, and prayer breaks time. The tyranny of stress and time over our lives shatters when you stop and take time with God. And if you give God an hour of your day in prayer, it will make 4 or 5 hours. You will be able to do in 1 hour what you could not do before in one day. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And it means when other people who didn't pray and seek God are down here trudging their way in their own power through life, you're soaring right over the top of them. You have favor. You have opportunity. You have anointing. You have wisdom. You have enlightenment. You have everything that you need. God's protecting you because you broke the tyranny of time over your life and you said, God, I'm making you first and nothing will come in your way. I'm not going to make these empty excuses about all the relationships and the friends and all the money and the busyness and all these things that people were saying to justify their lack of relationship with God. I'm giving you the time that you deserve. And what I'm saying is, it's the cost of oil. If you want Jesus in your life, if you want the Holy Spirit in your life, he will come right now as a gift of grace. You don't have to earn him. You don't deserve him. But I'm saying to you right now, there is a cost. Once he is in your life, if you're going to enjoy him and know him and gain the things that he has, it will not be zapped or slapped or microwaved. It will not be. The only way that any of us will get it is by purchasing oil with the time that we have today through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and our precious Father. I want you to bow your heads with me if you would. Lord, we come to you this morning and we admit that we need you. And some of us are here this morning and we feel like Zerubbabel. We're confused. We're living our lives just frustrated, worn out, fearful, anxious. We don't know where we're going. And we just feel like we lack the power to deal with the overwhelming issues we're facing in our marriages, in our families, in our jobs, in our ministries. It's overwhelming. It overwhelms our resources. It overwhelms our ability to reason through it. It overwhelms our emotional reservoir. And Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning, our precious friend. And first of all, we thank you that you're a gift of grace. And Jesus said that if we ask the Father for you, that he would give you to us. Holy Spirit, we ask for you this morning. If you'd like for the Holy Spirit to fill you up this morning, everybody has their head bowed, their eyes closed, but would you just lift your hands right there where you are? Would you just lift your hands up to God? Holy Spirit, would you fill us this morning? We're lifting our hands as an act of surrender and humility, and we're saying we can't do this without you. We leak. We leak quickly. And we're asking you this morning to fill us with power from on high. And Holy Spirit, we want to establish an ongoing relationship with you this morning. And we know that wherever we are, you are there. And we just say to you, Holy Spirit, we're going to give you time in our lives to endue us with everything that God gave you for. And it's a wonderful thing that we have the opportunity to know you in a personal way and to get everything that you have. And we just say this morning, we want to be wise virgins ready for Jesus with our lamps trimmed, filled with oil in this dark, dangerous day in which we live. And we thank you that you have everything we need for victory and success. And this morning we say we need you and we will give you the time that you need to do your work in our lives. Bless these precious people, every single person here. Heal our hurts. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. This is the conclusion of the series Encounter, A Personal Testimony of Meeting God by Jimmy Evans. For more information or additional resources by Jimmy Evans, visit the Marriage Today website at marriagetoday.com.